you walked the trail at Lake Fayetteville on a cloudy morning late last month, maybe you heard the sounds of a chainsaw through the trees and brush. But good luck finding the source. About six or so volunteers have been asked by the park officials to leave no evidence of their entrance into the woods. David Chapman, one of the guys wielding a chainsaw, explains what the group is out here doing.
Well, I'm doing conservation work, I suppose, is the way to describe it. You know, we're trying to restore this in old prairie, which it used to be. And there's a lot of work needs to be done, cutting down invasive timbers and clearing and all this sort of thing. So we've been working on it for 3 or 4 years now.
The we Chapman is referring to is the Fayetteville Natural Heritage Association, or FNHA, a nonprofit whose mission is to identify and protect Fayetteville's most important natural areas, as well as the community's tree canopy. Places like the Mount Sequoia Woods and this land, located inside a portion of the circular trail at Lake Fayetteville. This area was identified as upland prairie during the group's green infrastructure planning. One of FNHA's board members got together with the superintendent for the City of Fayetteville's Parks and Recreation Department to develop a plan to restore between 30 and 40 acres to natural prairie habitat. But what is a prairie?
Well, it's grassland. It's ancient grassland. Not what we see when we drive around, I'm afraid. You know, these are the original prairie with lots of characteristic plants associated with it, and there's remnants of it here, and that's why this work's being done here. But in northwest Arkansas, there are very few places where you've got genuine prairie still left. Most of them have been ploughed or reseeded or treated with herbicides and this kind of thing, you know. So it's a fairly unique place here, especially being within the bounds of the city of Fayetteville and also close to Springdale. So
the group is out here chopping down cedar trees and black cherry trees, clearing the way for the city to use herbicides on one of the most invasive grasses, Lespedisa sericea, which looks like something a farmer might chew on. The city also uses controlled burns, they've had three so far, to clear the way for the native plants to resurface. Bob Koch, chairman of FNHA, says lack of fire is one of the major causes for the disappearing prairie.
This is what naturally happens when you don't have fire. You know, in the olden days, this area would burn every couple years, and that would restore the prairie and keep the invasives out. But when man came in here, he made sure that fire didn't happen. And so the invasives, like the cedar trees, started taking over. And we have aerial photographs from like 1940 on, showing that like in 1940 there weren't many cedar trees out here at all. But by 1999, the place was just covered with them.
Dwayne Walchin, FNH member and Workday organizer, points out some of the native prairie plants.
This one is Indian grass, and that's a native grass. And this one is switchgrass, which is also a native grass. And that's my two native grasses, and you see goldenrod, the plants that are beginning to show a little yellow in places and a lot in other places. And as we walk around through the seasons out here, we see all kinds of small patches of plants that are native. And by improving the habitat out here, those plants will spread from those vestige populations to become much more dominant. And
they have already been successful on one patch of land. Part of the hope is that as the native plants return, so will the animals. David Chapman, a poultry scientist by day, says you'll get prairie types of birds, meadowlarks, bobolinks, and certain sparrows.
I'm not an expert on anything else. I did see two very large rat snakes yesterday, and I actually even flushed a pair of horned owls from this grove of trees here. So it's the sort of place where horned owls would nest.
Dwayne Walchin says a lot of the animals that will return will be rodents, mice, and ground-burrowing animals. He also comments on what you won't see.
I was stopped one day by a couple of young ladies who were on the paved trail as we were coming out of the woods, and she was asking me what we were doing. I told her about it, and she says, "Oh, will buffalo be back?" I said, "No, I'm sorry. I don't think buffalo will be back." But that's the type of animal that would have been here. And also there were eastern elk, which were habitants of this area. And we don't expect to see those either, but quail, and particularly the birds, are going to enjoy a major comeback because of this diversity that they've got here now.
Bob Cox says that this is a project that will never be finished. They must maintain the prairie year after year. He does hope that within a couple of years, the city's environmental center, which is located nearby, can begin to bring students here.
To show them how the areas like this go into succession, going from prairies to savannas, then into the thick forest as you move back in. And so this has been developed with input from them so that they can use this as part of their educational program.
Also part of this plan is to work with the city to develop signs to place along the trails. Signs teaching of the natural history of this area, this particular restoration process, as well as the people history of this property. Last month, in order to foster enthusiasm and support, this project got a name, Callie's Prairie.
Mrs. Henson, Sarah Catherine Callie Greg Henson.
Callie grew up in the area, though her family fled during the Civil War.
When she came back to the area, is reputed to have said when she came back through this area that, "I love this area, I want to live here." And so 6 years later, her family, or her husband, bought the land and they moved here and lived here. And actually, the family continued to own land in this area until about 1941. 1948, just before the city bought the property to build the lake.
He says that whether or not she really said that, it sure sounds romantic. Also romantic is the success of Lake Fayetteville Park and Callie's Prairie. David Chapman confirms.
And I mean, this has been an unbelievably successful project here, because when they open the hardtop trail, I mean, hundreds of people use it. And so I talk about it as being the jewel of the park system. And you know, there's a fine balance between giving the public what they want, you know, so they can walking around and everything like that, and also saving the natural habitat that's here.
If you'd like to help preserve that habitat, the Fayetteville Natural Heritage Association is holding a volunteer work day this Saturday. To find out more, contact Audubon, Arkansas, or visit fayettevillenatural.org.
This week, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me welcomes the first female Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, on To Play Our Games. Yes, we're adding Ms. Pelosi to our big binder of women. I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for our three-ring circus. It's this week's News Quiz from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, now on its new day at its new time, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on KUAF 91.3 FM.